The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I want you to take the communion set that you were given and tear the top off, and there's a bread there. I don't think that communion has to be explained. I think it just needs to be experienced. We don't always have to explain it. It's just something about doing it that Jesus said, as often as you do this, you remember me. You remember me. You remember my death, but you remember my promise to come again. Because He said, at the end of this, until I come again. The one who died, the one who rose again, said, as oft as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Listen to His wording, until I come again. We celebrate the death, the resurrection, and the soon return of Jesus Christ in this meal. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat, this do in remembrance of me until I come again. This is my cup, the cup of my blood for the remission of sins. Take, drink, this do in remembrance of me until I come again. Thank you. I want you to just take a moment and remember the Lord. Would you just lift your hands if you feel comfortable doing that, just in an act of praise and worship? I ask them to sing this before I preach, but sing it with them.
Oh, King Jesus.
Sing it, church. Just let loose of a mighty praise. King of kings, Lord of lords. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open them with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Today, what I'm sharing is different. We are in a series on the return of Jesus Christ the last 2 weeks. The first thing that will happen is the return of Jesus Christ. It is the next thing to happen. The Bible predicted the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And there's one thing that hasn't happened, and only one, the return of Christ. And then, as we have shared, and if you miss those messages, you ought to listen to them. They'll bless you. They'll encourage you. The Bible said, comfort one another with the fact Jesus is coming again. But today I want to teach you right out of the Bible, what will happen the day after the rapture? What will happen when Jesus comes again? The church will be called away, the text said in 1 Thessalonians 4. The people who are truly born again, loving the Lord, serving the Lord, will in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and if you can't believe this, then you probably can't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you can believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can believe in the rapture of the church, the catching away. And then what happens? Now, this is going to sound bad at first, but it's going to end good. Some spoiler, it's going to get bad, but it's going to end good. So I want you to see in verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks and the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? The wrath of the Lamb is signifying the fact that the church has been taken out, and now judgment will come upon this earth in a way that we cannot imagine. And in case you think that I am over-exaggerating what the Bible prophesies and predicts will happen right after the coming of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear the words of Christ himself. If you can't believe everything he says, you can't believe anything. And in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21, he said, and then shall come, there shall be great tribulation. The great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Jesus himself said there's coming a time that will come upon this earth after his return and the rapture of the church that it will be called terrible. It's known as the tribulations. And I want to tell you exactly what the scripture says. John was shown a vision, and he tells exactly what will happen. But I wanted to know that Jesus himself said a great tribulation is coming such as the world has never seen. But he wasn't the only one. Then in the words of Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah 36 and 7, he sees a man in a vision who is laboring like a woman in travail. And he says, this is the great day. Go to the next verse, please. He says, this is that day that is great so that none is like it. He's saying the same thing. Even the time, notice the wording, of Jacob's trouble. Jacob was the man in the Bible whose name was changed by God to Israel. So what he's saying is, this will be seen as Israel's time of trouble. The nation of Israel will be facing trouble like they have never ever had to deal with. Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. And then in one more, in Daniel 12 and verse 1, and in that day, Michael, who is the archangel of battle, He's a battle angel. He's found over and over and over in the scriptures. He's a mighty angel, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. That's the nation of Israel. There shall be a time of trouble such as never since. Now, these men lived centuries and decades and hundreds of years apart, and every one of them prophesied the same thing, that something will come. And Jesus himself said it is the great tribulation. Now, I want to take you to that and what the Bible predicts. John was called up, and in Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, he says, "And I saw a lamb open the seals, and I heard the noise of thunder." Thunder is the noise of a coming storm. He said, "I was in heaven. I saw the lamb break the seal off of a book, and I heard the sound of thunder like a storm that was a terrible, terrible storm that was coming on the earth." Again, we won't be here. If you're born again, if Jesus is your Savior, if your name is in the... I will prove this to you in this message, and I'm going to do it all in 25 more minutes. But I want you to stay with me because we're going somewhere this morning. We won't go through this. I'll show it to you in the scripture. But when I saw the Lamb open the seal, I heard the noise of thunder and four beasts saying, "Come and see." And he said, "When I looked, I saw one who sat on a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow and a crown, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." You see, this is the beginning of four horses that he will see in this vision. It's called and known as the four horses of the apocalypse. And notice the first one is a white horse, and on it is a world conqueror. And he has a bow, which is a symbol of war, and he is conquering and, listen to it, will conquer, which means he's going to do what no other army and no other leader of nations has ever done. He will conquer the entire planet. He will do it. Who is that? It's the Antichrist. Well, I thought Jesus rode on a white horse. He will. But remember this, the Antichrist, he copies everything. That's why he's Antichrist. He wants to be Christ. And he will ride on a white horse in the vision because he wants to be Christ. He has an unholy trinity. You have the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The unholy trinity, according to the book of Revelation, will be Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And you see, everything he does, he's trying to gain. This man will be Satan in skin. It is none other than the Antichrist. It will be a world ruler. He will come to power. Imagine when the trumpet sounds and millions, perhaps billions of people will leave this planet. Instantly the economies will crash. Instantly there will be a devastation on a level we cannot even comprehend or understand. And the Bible describes the world as like a stirring sea that's in a storm. And out of that unrest will come a mighty leader. He will absolutely cause the ability to take over. He'll form a coalition of 10 nations. Now I want you to see it. He's riding on a horse and he has a bow. He will be a mighty warrior and he will have an army that will take over. Not only that, but he will have a crown. Hell will have a holiday. It will look like hell is going to win. Remember, we will be out of here. There will be no churches. There will be nothing. It will be chaos. It will be pain and suffering. And then you see in the scriptures, Jesus, when he comes back to rule and reign later, he will come on a white horse. It's the Antichrist, the imitator. Napoleon set out to conquer the world and he failed. We know that Hitler set out to conquer the world and he failed. But there is coming a world conqueror and he will be the Antichrist. And then instantly the second horse appeared. He said that another seal was broken In Revelation 6 and verse 3, in the second seal, I saw a beast say, come and see. And there went another horse, and it was the red horse. And it was red because it speaks of blood. And to him was given the power to take peace from the earth. The power was given unto him that he should, that men should kill one another. And there was given unto him, listen to the wording, a great sword. So when this devil-inspired leader comes on the white horse, immediately following will come the red horse of war and blood. And he will take over and he will be given a great sword. I believe that that could be nuclear warfare, atomic warfare, laser warfare, biological warfare, cyber warfare. All of this, the spirit of Antichrist will come because there will be no prince of peace on the earth anymore. Do you know that it was 2.5 megatons that was dropped on Japan that killed 250,000 people? But we have now bombs that can drop 1,000 megaton bombs. Can you imagine the damage? They said that it could destroy 3 states completely, just one bomb. Using sophisticated computer technology, CBS did a special some years ago on what would happen, and it generated wind storms that travel at 1,000 miles per hour. A Category 5 is 150 mile an hour storm. 40-story buildings will be knocked down like a house of cards. It can generate firestorms so intense in heat that anyone caught in a distance of miles around it will melt like a candle in a furnace. We have these bombs and they can be delivered, and Russia has them and China has them, and they can be delivered in 20 minutes anywhere around the world. Does the Bible speak of atomic warfare? I believe it does. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 12, the Old Testament prophet thousands of years ago saw something and he did not know how to describe it. He said, this shall be a plague to the people. And he said, here it is, listen to it. Their flesh shall consume them while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall melt away in their sockets. Their tongues shall melt in their mouth. He literally was seeing Armageddon. He was seeing this happen. Recently, there was a man several years ago who was a 4-star general, and I had his name in the first service, but I don't bring it up right now. But he was at the National Prayer Breakfast, a 4-star general. And when he heard the verse that I just read to you from Zechariah read, he stood up to speak. And when he did, he was visibly moved by the crowd. And it was obvious that something was going on with him. And he said, I cannot believe what they just read because we have the weapons. That is the complete description of what our weapons can do. And he was stunned by it and he was shaken by it, that it was foretold thousands of years ago. I'm simply saying to you that once the Antichrist begins, the chain reaction, the white horse brings the Antichrist, who is the rider. The second horse is the red horse, and it brings war. And war will break out, and the armies of Antichrist will begin to take nation after nation. But unlike other armies, he will conquer the whole world. He will set up a one currency system because the economies will fail. The American dollar will fail. All of the economies of the world will fail. That's when he will institute the mark of the beast, according to the book of Revelations, and men cannot buy and sell without the mark of the beast. It will all happen, one currency, one government. He will rule. He will reign. He will take over. Nations will lose their independence. That's why America is so important, because as long as there's a superpower that still is preaching the gospel and believes this book, I'm telling you, the Bible said in the second Thessalonians, that the church is the restraining factor of why the Antichrist cannot come on the scene. I'm telling you, when the church is taken out, when the power of God lifts and the world spirit of Antichrist takes over, he will begin to move with military power. And then there is the third seal. The third seal is talked about in verse 5 and 6. He said, I heard a voice say, come and see. And he said, lo, a black horse. And he that sat upon it had a set of scales or balances in his hand. And he's crying out with a voice, and a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of wheat for and barley. This black horse is the black horse of famine. And the reason that he has a scale is because it is being measured out because there's a shortage of food. The Bible teaches that food will be carefully weighed and measured during the Great Tribulation, that food will be rationed and there will be a severe shortage of food, that there will be perpetual hunger all over the world. People will hunger and they will not be able to get food unless they take the mark of the beast. This sounds absurd, but up until our lifetime, there was no way that every person could be tracked. There was no way that a simple digital card could be put in your body and that mark of the beast would be upon you in that way. The technology is now here. The black horse that rides across the world is famine. And the famine will be severe. So you will have the Antichrist, you will have wars, and then you will have famine. And then lastly, the fourth seal, he said, come and see. And he said, I saw a pale horse, the color of death. And he said, on that horse sat death. And notice it said, and hell followed him. So I want you to understand it's a chain reaction. The white horse bringing the Antichrist. Just as soon as the church is taken out, the Antichrist will come. The hoof prints of the first horse will go across the earth. And then the Antichrist, the red horse, the chain reaction of war. And after that, the black horse of famine. And then after that, death. The Bible actually predicts that 1/4 of the population, billions of people, will die from the wars and the famines and the disease. Many of the epidemics that happen in a time of war kills as many as the war itself. Notice that death and hell are together on this horse because death claims the body, but hell claims the spirit. God is saying, you can't imagine the pain, the sorrow, the great tribulation that is coming upon the world. Then it predicts, and I don't have time to show you every verse, floods and earthquakes and famines and pestilence. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that the Antichrist will have a chosen method of execution for any and every person who will not take the mark of the beast. If you're left behind, if you are not called up, if you miss the rapture, you can be saved. There will be no preachers. At least this one won't be here. There will be no church services like this. It'll be outlawed. There will be one world religion. There will be one currency. There will be one world leader. And anyone who does not bow to his God, they will pay the ultimate price. And his chosen method is given that he will behead them. I thought of the spirit of the extreme organizations in the Muslim faith that are so murderous that they will cut people's heads off. And it's so amazing to me that the scripture with pinpoint accuracy, the Bible says 144,000 Jewish evangelists will be born again, believe in Jesus, believe in him with all of their heart, and they will stand and proclaim. And during the tribulation, thousands and millions of Jewish people will turn to Messiah. Their eyes will be open and they will see Christ for who he is. But it will cost them their lives. And if you are left behind, you say, well, I'll just wait and get saved in the great tribulation and live for the Lord then. If you can't live for the Lord now, if you can't live for the Lord with your belly full and a nice house and a car and a good church and in an atmosphere of people praying for you and Christians loving you, if you can't live for the Lord now, are you kidding me? when they're cutting people's heads off. You say, oh, I don't believe that. You see the spirit of Antichrist in the world today. It's happening just like the scripture said. I promise it gets good, but stay with me. It still is bad. Revelation 6 and verse 12, and he said, I saw a great earthquake. Revelation chapter 16 said, the sun will burn men. Revelation 16 and 21, there will be great hail out of heaven. So they'll be scorched with fire as the earth begins to revolt, as the earth begins to say, my creator, my God who created me, the sun will say, I'm gonna torture. And it's horrible. It's horrible what the scripture is saying. Revelation 11 talks about drought, but then the seventh seal. Now listen to this. Before the seventh seal is released, all of this in a 7-year period. Before the seventh seal is released, and I heard, he said, and there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. There was silence in heaven. That's like it's the calm before the storm. All of heaven recognizes when he breaks this seal, it's a game changer. This one's different. This is close to the end. What is it? This is going to sound strange to you, but the spirit world is very real. Demons are very real, and angels are very real. Hallelujah. The angels of God are very real. But what happens when the seventh seal is broken, according to Revelation 9 and 1, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Who is that? That's Lucifer. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Next verse. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose out smoke of a great furnace. The sun, the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit, next verse. And there came smoke out of the smoke, locusts. He's trying to describe what he's seeing. He's saying, I saw Lucifer cast down to the earth, and he goes to the bottomless pit, and he opens up a portion of hell that has never been opened, that demons have been held for since the time they've sided with Lucifer, certain ones, they will be released upon the earth. And he said they will look like locusts, but they will have the sting of a scorpion, and that sting will last for 5 months. And men will cry out and say, just let me die. I'm in perpetual, continual, agonizing pain, like one sting of a scorpion, but all over their body for 5 months, no remedy, no help. He said in Revelation 9 and 7, describing these demons, that their legs will be like a horse, their heads will have a crown, their faces will be like men, their hair like long like women, their teeth like lions. They will have a breastplate, meaning they you cannot harm them. They will have wings that sounds like chariots. They're on the move. And their commander will be the destroyer, it goes on to say, one that is known as the destroyer. All of this, as all of this is happening, and then finally the Antichrist will set up a false religion, and he will build himself there a temple in Jerusalem, and he will make the world worship him. And that's when it looks like Israel is going to be wiped out, but all the armies of heaven and Jesus himself on a white horse will come back to earth, and he said he would bring you and I with him, and we'll be riding white horses with them. I don't understand all this, but I believe it. I don't understand how he could take a mud ball and breathe into it and it become a living being and make a man, but he did it, because you're here. You're just a glorified mud ball that he breathed in you. How can you doubt? How can you doubt this book? He hung the stars, the moon. He said, let there be. But watch this. How do you know the church is not going through the tribulation? Because Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, God speaking to the church said, because you have kept my word, I will keep you in the hour of temptation that shall come upon the earth. In Revelation 4 and verse 1, he says, I looked and I saw an open door in heaven and a trumpet said, come up here. Do you know that Lot, the Bible said the angel came to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah and said, you and your family, I cannot bring judgment until you and your family get out. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, it'll be when I come again. In other words, before judgment comes, I'm going to take my church, my people out. And we know that Noah got his family on the ark. And then the door closed. And the Bible said they were eating, they were drinking, they were laughing, and they were making fun. They were mocking, just like you make fun of a message like this. Some of you go make fun of it. But that's all right. That's God's word. But you know, the signs of the times, even if you're an absolute heathen, an atheist, a Satan worshiper, you got to know there's something in the air right now. Something is going on in the world that we're at a place here where it's never felt quite like this. And you know, even then they were having signs. As Noah was building his ark, they were laughing and mocking and making fun of those crazy Christians. But do you know, can you imagine having a party out on your deck or something and people just carrying on doing all kinds of sins and all this stuff going on? And there goes two elephants walking by, side by side, nobody leading them. There goes two zebras and they're going on the plank, going into the ark. And there goes two snakes and they're just, I don't know why he let the snakes on, but there goes two tigers. You know, and the Bible said this happened right up until the day the door was closed and the ark went up. Then as the rain came down, the ark went up. And do you know, if you look around, that there are elephants in the prophetic room everywhere. Look at who's in the news, Iran. And Ezekiel 37 and 38 said Persia, which is ancient Iran, and Russia, which is Moscow. It's all there in Ezekiel 37, 38, actually names that part of the regions of ancient Russia. And China, the kings of the East, they will make an allegiance. Russia, Persia, Iran, and China, they will. Keep your eyes on them. Keep your eyes on them. And notice the whole world, it's all about Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. Why? Because we are in the end times. You say, I don't want to go. I love it too much here. Then you have no concept of how wonderful heaven is. If you could see, as a matter of fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 said, I reckon that this present suffering is not to be compared, not to be worthy to compare to the glory that will be revealed to us. You just wait. In other words, nobody's going to carry a chip on their shoulder when they go into heaven, talking about, I don't understand why I had to. Once you get to heaven, the glory will be so great, you won't remember the tears, you won't remember the pain, you won't remember the sorrow. As a matter of fact, I feel like preaching. As a matter of fact, God said, I will wipe every tear from their eyes. The first thing that'll happen when you get to heaven is God will say, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. Welcome home. And it'll be a reunion with others who have gone before us. Take a praise break. It's real. Hallelujah. He's coming again. Somebody praise him like you believe it. I'm almost done. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, that's why we eagerly await for the Son from heaven, even Jesus whom he raised from the dead. Listen to these beautiful words. Who delivered us from the wrath to come. What's that? That's the great tribulation. When did he deliver us and why would he deliver us? Because
He took our wrath on the cross. That's why the cross ought to move you, because He took our punishment. He took our judgment. He took our sins, and on the cross, that's why they so beat Him, that He looked like a bloody mess. He was torn to pieces like a plowed field. He took the sins of the world. He took our judgment, and He says, I have not appointed you to wrath. I've appointed you to glory. I've appointed you to heaven. I've appointed you to eternal life. I said eternal life. Calm down, Jensen. Just calm down. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that when they cry peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. He said, and they will not escape. They shall not escape. But then the very next verse says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Whew, hallelujah. And then in verse 9, he says, for God has not appointed us to wrath. I tell you, this ought to make us shout right here in this little church. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we cannot imagine what God has prepared for us. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. I want to throw up Romans 13 and 11. I close with this. Romans 13 and 11, and that knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Turn to somebody and say, wake up. Tell them again, shake them a little bit, say, wake up. It's high time. Do you believe we're in that time prophetically? Do you believe we're in that time spiritually? It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now, this is a reference to the coming of the Lord, is our salvation nearer than what we believed? Now watch this next part. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, here's instructions. If you are living in the day of the coming of the rapture and the coming of the Lord, he says, cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Tell your neighbor, say, wake up and get up. You know, when the alarm clock goes off, you still got to get up. You can't keep punching it. You can't keep hitting. You got to get up. So I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know how bad things are going for you. But I just came with a word. Number one, wake up. There's a better day coming. Oh, he's going to wipe every tear from our eye. And he's going to give us joy like we have never known. But wait a minute. Don't just wake up, but tell somebody beside you, get up. Get up in your spirit. And then I got one more for you. Dress up. He said, put on the armor of light. I got one more for you. Look up. God never tells his people to have their head down in the valley and in the circumstances, in the sorrows. He says, look up. Look up into the hills from which cometh your help. Look up, Jesus is coming. Look up, your redemption draweth near, even at the door. So, I tell you this in conclusion, that in Genesis 4, it said Enoch walked with God and was not in Genesis 4, for God took him. That's the first rapture in the Bible. A man was walking with God, and God said, we're closer to my house than yours. Let's go. And God took him. Now, this is why I believe God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, I think it is. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was raptured and was not found. That's what they're gonna see your clothes and all that, but you're gonna be gone. You won't be wearing these clothes. You'll be wearing a robe of righteousness. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. But watch, God had took him because he had this testimony. His testimony was he pleased God. Do you know, if you live to please God, you don't have to worry about the other stuff. Live to please God. It pleases God when you forgive. It pleases God when you love 70 times 7. It pleases God when you love Him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Worship Him. Believe, even though everything you see says it's not getting better. It pleases God when you walk through the fiery furnace and you say, God can deliver me, but if not, He's still God. It pleases God when you raise up your feeble hand when you buried somebody you loved and you say, I don't understand a thing you're doing, but I worship You and I praise You. And He had this testimony that He pleased God. I want that testimony. I want that testimony. You're not promised another day. You're not promised another sermon. You're not promised another altar call. He could come today and tomorrow the tribulation would begin. He's reaching out His nail-scarred hand for every one of you who are running far from God. He'll wipe the tears from your eyes if you'll let Him. There'll be no more sorrow. This is all Scripture. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. That's that sorrow, pain, death. The former things will pass away. Behold, all things will be new when we all get to heaven. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet reverently, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You'd say, Pastor Jensen, I don't know that I'm ready. I don't know. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because Revelation said that when you stand before God, a book will be opened called the Book of Life. And He said, whosoever's name is written in the Book of Life will be given entrance to that city called heaven. Do you know your name is there? There's nothing you'll give up to go to heaven that you won't give up, that you'll have to give it up to go to hell too. Because there won't be any adultery in hell, and there won't be any adulterer in heaven unless they repent. There'll be no crazy stuff in hell that you think is worth playing Russian roulette with your soul over. You'll give it up then. For weeping and gnashing of teeth and sorrow. This is an old-fashioned gospel message, but I'm preaching the truth and I lie not. I'm telling you, it's coming. And I don't understand all the shadows and types, but if Jesus said it's a great tribulation like the world has never seen, He meant what He said. He was not an exaggerator. He meant what He said. You can know that your name is written, every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, I want to be ready when Jesus comes.
I'm not ready and I want to be. Pray for me. If that's you, get your hand up as high as you can get it, unashamed. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Raise them high and unashamed. Every man, every woman, young person, teenager, young adult, child, whoever you are. Every one of you that raised your hand, slip out of your seat as quick as your feet can move and get down here to this altar and stand right here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning. Come on quickly. This is your moment. Doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. All that matters is that it is well with my soul. This can be a day that changes your eternal destiny. This can be a day when the lost can be found. This can be a day when the angels rejoice in heaven because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're coming. Let's praise God. You know, I feel like we ought to all hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. I feel like we ought to sing that one more time as they're coming. Sing it.
All hail Emmanuel.
King of kings, Lord of lords.
King
Come on.
Of kings, Lord of lords.
Anyone else come? Anyone else come? We're going to pray in just one moment. Step out of that seat and come. Step out of that seat and come. This is your altar call. I'll sing His praise. One more time. Can we lift our hands and worship Jesus for a moment? Praise Him for His great salvation. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, walked on the water and healed the sick and raised the dead, died and rose again, all for you. Everybody, just pray this prayer out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I thank you for the price you paid, for the plan you have. I'm going to see you face to face. There's going to be a reunion in that place called heaven. And Lord, I receive you as my Savior. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me. It's high time for me to wake up, get up, dress up in the armor of light, and look up, for my King is coming again, and I am ready for His coming. I'm looking for His coming. In Jesus' name. Everybody say that. In Jesus' name. Well, hallelujah. The angels are shouting your name in heaven. To God be the glory.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.